Hello and welcome to Alchemy 101, the show that explores all avenues of transformation and aims to offer a few nuggets of gold that can support us in living in line with nature in a way that's true to our nature, even though sometimes it feels counterintuitive, just like the nightingale, a bird that sings out in the dark. I'm JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and it's great to have you with me today. Later, join me and medical herbalist Karen Brines-McLean in the kitchen as we cook up our foraged berries. But first, something very different with an inspirational guest, Myra Fordham. Now, Myra is an award-winning leadership expert, a mentor, professional speaker, and an international best-selling author and entrepreneur. She's founder of Myra Fordham Coaching in Australia. But to achieve everything that she has, she's had to recover from life-threatening injuries, severe brain trauma so bad that she had to learn to walk and speak again after an ex-partner attacked her. A lot of people would have given up. So when I caught up with Myra a while back, I asked her just how she managed to not only get her life back, but become a true success after such a shocking life event.
The first thing was I needed to go through and ride the waves. I had to put myself in a dark place, you know. I had to do that because I didn't have the tools and the resources back then. I wasn't even very conscious back then either. I was on the verge of breaking through, but I always, I guess, stayed in my comfort zone, and I always blamed people, and I like to refer to it as being in that victim mode, that victim mindset. So I had to go through 4 years of suffering before I decided and made that empowering choice for myself to break free and get rid of these old stories and this trauma that did not serve me. And it was all about going back to the personal responsibility. You know, it's much easier to blame people and project and do all of those things, but I had to take that empowering decision that day when I decided to get support and help. And I decided that back then, now was the perfect time to get started. And my kind of thing now is, if not now, when? So it was all about that, and even wanting to do it, like having the passion and the drive and the determination and asking questions and surrendering to the process and feeling safe and being vulnerable to share what's going on in my mind or in my life, and then accepting it, acknowledging it, and moving on. And I guess that's when I decided to do the coaching qualification, the NLP. And I needed accountability. That was just massive for me. And to be challenged on my own beliefs and thoughts was so uncomfortable. I had to get really triggered, you know, and that's what helped me.
Wow. So at what point, because you had brain injuries and you had severe brain trauma, so physically, what kind of things did you have to manage to get through? Not just the, I mean, I guess that the mental attitude was what you needed to get through the physical stuff.
Yeah, correct. So prior to the traumatic brain injury, I always had the can-do attitude and put my hand up first and be the first volunteer. So I always had that determination or that willingness to have a go and try things out. And I guess one quote that still resonates with me every day is, nothing ventured, nothing gained. So
yeah,
what I had to do to get through it was the willingness to get out of my own way and trust the process. And the doctors firstly and the nurses said, like, there's no guarantee that you'll be able to, like, It was the worst case scenario. So I was my parents, well, not my parents, my mum, because my dad is in heaven. My mum and my family did not think that I was going to make it. They were ready to plan my funeral. So I just believe that it was a second chance. Like it was my permission slip to success by sustaining this traumatic brain injury. And what I know now is that the doctors can give you like the worst case scenario, I guess, so you can prepare yourself mentally and emotionally. But they said like you might not be able to walk again. You may not make a 100% recovery. It's just uncertain. So for me, it was just about trusting myself, believing in myself, and the amount of times I fell over and fell into the dark hole were numerous. But it was all about finding a way to climb out and remember why I was granted a second chance at life. You know, I could have easily just checked out of life, which I kind of wanted to. But I know now that I was put here for a higher purpose, and that purpose is to give hope to others. And my mission here is to raise the consciousness of humanity by creating impact-driven leaders, you know? So it's a gift. Like, I'm so grateful and happy that this happened. And I know for some it might be a shock, but for me it's just like, thank you. Like, I'm so grateful. Like, I'm so grateful it happened.
Yeah, I think it's so important to have that attitude in any realm of health and well-being. It's too easy to fall into that victim mentality. And yes, I mean, doctors do a great job, but so often people hear the message, oh, you know, they get the worst case scenario, and then they think that's it. And don't take that responsibility for turning that around, because actually what doctors are telling you is not set in stone. It's not the future. You can create health and well-being by taking control of your life. And so I guess that's what you did.
Absolutely. You have to take charge and grab the bull by the horns and not settle for less, and know that everybody has the power of choice, and they just need to make empowering decisions and get the heck out of your own way and do something about it. Don't just sit there and have a pity party and just play that broken record of an untrue story in your mind. You need to change the story and the narrative to a new meaning that's going to empower you and be your driving force. And yeah, everything happens for a reason. It really does.
Yeah, some people talk about the universe giving you a nudge, and sometimes the universe gives you a huge kick up the backside, right? So I want to just go through some of the steps that you took on that path back to health and well-being. You are looking absolutely fabulous. I'm looking at you on Zoom here. You sound great. So what I'm wondering is whether you can give us some of the processes and some of the things that you did to get you back onto this path.
Yeah, great. I would love to share that with our audience today, because I know that this is going to help them to break through to the next level. So the first thing is you need to accept it, acknowledge it, and then find a way to get through. The answers may not be so clear to you right now in this given moment, but it's always good to talk to somebody that you trust and that you feel safe with. And that's why I recommend mentorship or having a coach in your corner, because we can't do things on our own. It's just like somebody like myself saying that I can do brain surgery on myself when I can't.
Yeah. Okay? Yeah. That would be dangerous, right?
Very dangerous. Yeah. And it would hurt.
Yeah, and it would.
Yeah, okay. And so what I did to release some trauma, and I truly believe that this is what healed my medically diagnosed PTSD and allowed me to forgive my ex for what he'd done to me. So you need to sit down with yourself, set up your room in a nice, great energy, put on some meditation or nice high vibrational frequency music, no lyrics. And if somebody who has maybe abused you or hurt you or broken your trust or whatever it is that's really, really controlling you and the trauma's taking over your life, then you need to address it. And some people think it's scary. Yes, sometimes it is. And because crying and pain, crying is linked to pain. So that's why people stop crying or they don't want to face things because there's a fear there. But for me, I was just like, you know what? I procrastinated on this letter for a long time. People had been telling me, Myra, just do the letter. And it kept popping up every time. And I'm like, oh, okay, then fine. I would do the letter. So I decided, I made that empowering decision. Then I started writing and it was me like just saying everything. It wasn't really from a place of love. It was just more of my truth back then because I was really hurting inside. I was so, so hurt. And I just said everything I needed to. And I also said, you know, like all the things I needed to get out there.
And this was to your ex? Was this to your ex?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was to him. Like I said, everything I wanted to, like every single thing. And it took me at least an hour just to unpack, you know, everything. And then in closing, I was just like, you know, it was like me lashing out and swearing at him because I had so much anger, rage, and frustration and all of that. So it was just basically me telling him to rot in hell back then because I wasn't healed then. And what it did for me, JJ, was just incredible because I had the PTSD where I'd be having dreams where he would try and kill me and stuff like that and hurt me more. But after that, I had a dream that we forgave each other, made up, and then we hugged and then went our separate ways. So I just knew that it was gone. And then I felt so free and I didn't have to speak bad about him anymore.
Yeah.
So I knew that I forgave him. And I guess when we want to forgive somebody, we got to forgive ourselves really underlying. That's the biggest thing, forgiving ourselves first. And then I guess the next steps on healing more was to have more movement in my body. So more daily movement. I'm talking either going to the gym, going for a walk, doing some yoga, you know, going for a ride on your bike. Like these things really help to get, you know, the endorphins and the dopamine going because you're setting up your intention for the day. And let's face it, when we were cave people back then, we used to celebrate and do our cultural practices, whether it was painting, dancing, singing, ceremonial practices, or it could be just to celebrate life or something like that. And we used to walk everywhere. There was no cars back then. There's no trains, there's no planes, nothing. So that's why we can sometimes fall into a depression or feel a bit lower on our vibrational frequency. So that's something that I highly recommend is daily movement. And I then started to do like journaling prompts or writing down how I felt or maybe the negative emotions that I might be experiencing or the feelings. Or I used to have a lot of anxiety back then. Now I don't even have it. It doesn't even exist. Like, yeah, maybe I might get a bit excited or nervous, but that's just life, you know. It's just knowing how to identify those emotions and those feelings. And then just giving yourself compassion and love. So by that, I mean caring for yourself more, showing up, having a great appearance, you know, going a little bit extra for yourself. giving back, filling up your love cup first. That way you have more to give to others, right? So that's basically what I did in a nutshell. And then I went on this tangent of just investing into myself, into a lot of things. But I don't miss a cent. I have, to this day, I've invested around 200 grand in myself since the traumatic brain injury.
That's Australian dollars, yeah?
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. So investing in yourself is the most powerful thing you can do.
I agree, and we'll hear more from Myra on that in a moment. First, it's time to take a short break and hear from our station sponsors. Back after this.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Alchemy 101 here on UK Health Radio with me, JJ Stenhouse, the Practical Alchemist, and my first guest today, Myra Fordham. And we were talking before the break about how important it is to invest in ourselves. We don't always have to spend a lot of money, but I put it to Myra that what we do invest in ourselves will tend to come back to us tenfold. If not in monetary terms, in terms of how we feel and are able to navigate our way through life.
Correct. Yeah, like throughout those years now, leading up to now in October, it's almost been 7 years.
Yeah.
And in that the seven years, I've been able to achieve great success, you know. You can't put a price on this stuff. You really can't. Like the experience, the knowledge, the connections you make, that's worth a lot.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And you're recognized now as a leader. And just this year, you've won yet another award, which you were saying before we started recording this was a big one.
Yeah. Yeah. So for me, investing in myself has got me to win these awards, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so the award that I was nominated for this year was 2023 Darwin NAIDOC Person of the Year. So it's an Aboriginal award throughout the Northern Territory. So I've been recognized as the NAIDOC Person of the Year. So like
that's big,
that's
isn't it?
Nothing. That's big. Yeah, like that's not a small deal. That's a big deal, you know what I mean? So I guess all of my hard work and determination has paid off. And for other people, that might not mean much, but for me, that's a lot. Like being recognized in my own community, like I've been recognized as a leader last year for the award I won last year, but for this year, it's just like amazing. I even declared that 2023 would be my year. And, you know, from 2022 to 2023 now, to this date, I've been nominated for 14 awards and I've won two of them. So that's pretty massive, you know what I mean?
No, it's absolutely brilliant. And for anybody listening who is thinking, you know, well, just think, 7 years since you suffered a huge injury, had brain surgery, and now you're reaping all these rewards and this recognition. You said that you decided to make 2023 your year. How much of that do you think is down to you just putting it out there and saying, I am going to be or do? Do you think that plays a huge part in anybody's getting through whatever they're going through?
Yeah, well, absolutely. Once you declare something and you put it out to the universe and even like put it online, you got like, you have to be held accountable to what you're claiming. Like you have to claim that, and like immediate action equals immediate results. The way that you settle anxiety and all these fears and stuff is just to take relentless action towards getting where you want to be. And it starts with setting goals and intentions and having a vision. You know, what does that even look like? What does that feel like? What does that sound like? What does that smell like? What does that taste like? You know, you have to really get specific on what you want. And for me, like, it's already September, but hey, I've still got quite a few months to go. So I'm going to keep going and I'm not going to stop and I'm not going to allow myself or anyone to stand in my way, because I've lived my life sitting in my own way and allowing other people's judgments and opinions and their limitations hold me back. And now I'm like, no, I'm done with this. This is my time, you know?
Yeah, fantastic. And you talk about NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, and that has had a huge impact on your life, hasn't it? And NLP can be used not just for allowing people to be more of themselves. For you, it's been really pivotal, hasn't it, in helping you move forward?
Yeah, it's just helped tremendously. And I don't even know where my life would be if I didn't take that leap of faith and invest into myself that day on the spot. Otherwise, oh my gosh, I don't even want to imagine it, to be honest. But the one thing that I want to share with everyone is that everyone should do NLP. Like, if everyone did it, oh my gosh, we'd have so many conscious beings in this world.
Yeah, well, you know, I've been there myself, and I am absolutely a big fan. And it does change your life. It changes you, not in a bad way. It allows you to be more you, and it allows you to move through all the things that are holding you back, doesn't it?
Correct. Yep, it does. It brings up that self-awareness. So then you know, is it a pattern? Is it my trauma? Is it a limiting belief? Is it a negative emotion? Like, you're able to pinpoint and get to the root cause of what had the individual and yourself showing up a specific way or behaving, you know?
Yeah. And there's an offshoot of NLP that you've trained in, which is timeline therapy.
Yeah. And that's been able to shift so much for myself within me and in my clients. Like, I've just announced that I'm working with men as well now. And my client recently, he said after we're done, he's like, wow, I feel like a mother effing beast. I'm going to conquer the world. Like, I'm doing this. And I was like, wow, like, that's probably one of the best responses I've heard, you know?
Yeah, it's great, isn't it? Yeah. And timeline therapy is really simple, isn't it? Mm. And of course, not just for, I guess you would say, psychological issues as well. I mean, it can help even if you have a physical issue, like, a condition, a medical condition, in that there is a belief and an understanding that a lot of medical issues start within the mind, right? Yes. That's not putting anybody down. That's not saying it's all in the mind. It's not saying that, you know, what you are experiencing isn't real. But our minds really play a big part in our physical well-being, don't they?
Correct. Yes, it all starts in there, and then it then manifests in the body, whether it's in the nervous system or something, and it travels. Like, every time I've had somebody, when I've done NLP, they're like, whoa, like, I feel lighter, like, I feel liberated, or I had this tightness in my chest and now it's gone, you know? So, or one of the clients I worked with, she's like, my throat was blocked. Like, I couldn't speak up. I had anxiety. And I was like, your throat chakra is blocked. Let's unblock it. And then she didn't. She's like, whoa, like, there's nothing there anymore. It's gone. I'm like, well, that's the power of NLP and coaching. That's what you need to do to get rid of this, you know?
Yeah, and there's a lot of resistance because the results can be pretty quick. They can be pretty rapid. And a lot of people don't see that then that can be real. I know in my experience, people have said, well, how can that be? Because it only took a few minutes to work through that. But it does work that way, doesn't it?
Correct. Like the quickest release I've had, like on a negative emotional limiting beliefs, like 4 minutes, like done, gone. You know, averages around 7.5 minutes to 10, but did it in four, like freaking amazing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And so then now you work as a coach and you obviously practice NLP and timeline therapy. And yeah. And now you said that you're working with men as well. That must have been a big leap for you, considering, you know, your history.
Yeah. No, I mainly just targeted towards women. But if there was like a male who came to me, would have to see if we were the right fit. So I've had a few male clients before, but I never publicly came out about it. So for me, like, I'm just really excited to help men to become more stronger, more masculine and more certain and find that warrior within and to become a better father or a partner and also a future partner or a future father, you know, because men need it. There's so many men out there who are taking their lives and I just doesn't sit right with me.
Yeah, the mental health issue with men is huge, isn't it? Yeah.
Correct. And there's so many biases, especially from the olden days, you know, that don't cry, don't be weak, you're a P-U-S-S-Y, all of this stuff. So I'm here to break the biases and help men to really connect back to their warrior self and be stronger and feel safe, you know, very important.
Yeah, it is important. I think course I don't have the statistics to hand, but the issue with mental health amongst men is massive now, and it's being talked about an awful lot, so it's brilliant that you've taken that step.
Yeah, thank you. I'm just so happy that I'm doing my part of my calling as well, because there's so many people who need help and it's up to them to make that decision for themselves and really want a better life. And 9 times out of 10, they don't even think it's possible.
Yeah, exactly. And that's one of the issues as well, isn't it? So it's one of the reasons why I wanted to have you speak on my show today is it is possible. It is possible to be well. It's possible to create the life that you are going to be able to really thrive in. So I love what you're doing, Myra. And I would love you to tell us where people can find out more about you and how you work. In other words, you're in Australia, but does that stop anybody from working with you?
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate it. So the best way for people to contact me would be via my website, so myrafordham.com. And I, even though I'm in Australia, I'm an international award-winning leadership expert. So I serve everyone, everybody, anywhere, not at any time, but any time for them, but not for me. But so we do Zooms and it works fine, or I can call them and check in on the phone on WhatsApp or something. It's really easy. It's stress-free because you don't have to travel. You just jump on the computer or your phone and then we just have a chat. Then we find out what's on your mind and then we work through that with the timeline and other techniques I use. And the other ways you can contact me, I'm on every platform. So seriously, just jump on and if not, just Google my name and you'll find. Anyway, just give me a message. Don't be a stranger. My inbox is always open and I'm here for you. And I can guarantee you and promise you that I will transform your life. And I will do whatever it takes. And listen, if we don't get your results in the time frame working together, I'll do it for free. That's how certain I am with changing your life.
I love that. And I love the way that you talk about it there. And, you know, people might be sitting listening to this, or standing listening, or doing whatever, listening to this and thinking, oh yeah, right, what, you know, she can transform my life. But there are so many processes within NLP, and also timeline therapies is one of those offshoots of NLP, which really can help you get through whatever it is that's stopping you from living your best life. That's true, isn't it?
Correct. It's only you against you, and only you need to get out of your way. That's it. You know, anything's possible. When you want something bad enough, you'll find a way.
I think that's one of the keys as well. You have to want it. You have to want to go down that road, because it's not always easy, although, you know, some of the processes that you might take people through are pretty easy. But it's that recognizing at first that you want to shift, that you want to change in your life, and that you're prepared to do what it takes. Because that's what happened with you, wasn't it? You decided you were prepared to do what it takes.
Correct. I just experienced too much pain and I was done suffering. I was like, well, what's it going to take for me to just not be like this anymore? And I was just playing out the pattern, you know, the childhood conditioning and the intergenerational trauma. Like, yeah, it's just enough's enough, you know. It's not healthy. It's not serving us. We really have to strive for greatness and find a way and ask questions, find a way. You know, it's not easy, but I'm here for you. You just have to reach out.
Well, Myra, I love that. You're a complete inspiration, and you inspire me. And I love that you're really going for it and winning all these awards. It's absolutely wonderful. So thank you very much for coming on my show.
Thank you so much. And I can't wait for everybody to reach out if they need some support. And it's been an honor. Thanks again.
Myra Fordham, she really is an inspiration. Do reach out to her if you feel that she could help you. But if you're looking for a different approach, do check out my new website, that's safehavenhealing.uk. It's the place to go if you're looking for energy support for your health and well-being, and you'll find all the details and testimonials for my work at safehavenhealing.uk. It's time for another break right now, though. I'll be back with another inspiring woman. Well, she inspires me anyway, right after this from our station sponsors.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Alchemy 101 here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio station. I'm JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and it's time for a spot of wild cookery. Well, we're cooking wild food anyway, or preserving is maybe a better word. Last time, you heard medical herbalist Karen Brines-McLean and me out and about hawthorn foraging in the Fife countryside. Here's what we did with what we gathered. Now, Karen, last time we were out in the woods and we were gathering hawthorn berries, haws, and now we're in your kitchen, mm-hmm. and we are cooking hawthorn ketchup.
Yeah, making hawthorn ketchup. You can probably just hear
popping in the background as it bubbles away.
Bubbling and popping going on, and the oven's on, sterilising all the jars, because of course if you're making preserves, it's really important that you put it into sterile containers.
Yes.
Because we don't want horrible moulds happening on our food. So, yeah, oven's working away on the sterilisation process, and those hawthorns are bubbling away really nicely in a mix of water, vinegar. I've put some kombu seaweed in, Of course, we gathered kombu back in the spring.
We did gather it back. And that's that kombu, isn't it? Or is it? Yes.
Yeah, it's our kombu. It's our kombu. That's our kombu that we picked, yep. And then there's some garlic out the garden, homegrown garlic in there, some nice big juicy red chilies, and some ginger. And of course, you saw my trick with ginger out the freezer. I always stick my fresh ginger and fresh turmeric in the freezer, and then you can just take it out and grate what you want. So that's the main ingredients in there. And of course, lots of cider vinegar with the mother, although I think the mother will be dead.
Yes, I was going to say, it's not going to last long there.
She's going to be boiled, but the cider vinegar in there as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's all cooking up. And what will happen is that we'll cook and we'll soften the haws. And then you can either press them through a sieve, which I've done in the past. But because this is now an annual thing in this house, I actually put on my Christmas wish list that I wanted an old-fashioned moolie. And moolies, of course, you just rub it around and all the pulp comes through. So we'll put it through the moolie and we'll get the pulp from all those berries coming through. And then we chuck in some good dark molasses sugar and boil it all up together. So the pulp goes back into the liquid with the sugar, and then we just simmer it away until it thickens.
And that's it?
That's it, yeah.
Really
into
easy.
Jars. And like chutneys and preserves, if you let it sit, then it's going to increase its flavour. Yeah.
Yeah, but that sounds really easy.
It is really easy. Preserving is really easy. Yeah. You know, I had a glut of tomatoes in the greenhouse. I had some nice lots. They all ripened at one time. There was a lot ripened at one time, and then the rest didn't ripen. So when they all ripened, I put them in the dehydrator. So I've got lots of dehydrated cherry tomatoes, and then I made a big batch of green tomato chutney, which again just puts a little bit of flavour and a lot of. You know, an edge to a dish, you know, and more nutrition on board as well.
Yeah, no, exactly. And it's very easy to find recipes, isn't it, for things like hawthorn chutney. Don't think that, you know, there are no recipes online. And this one's from Mo Wild, isn't it?
Yeah, this is Mo Wild recipe. Although I do add a few extras in. Mo doesn't put seaweed in. Well, she doesn't put seaweed in her recipe book, but it wouldn't surprise me if she does put seaweed in when she's making it at home, because I think Mo, like the rest of us that are into good nutrition, realise that actually the more you get on board, the healthier you're going to be.
Yeah, and Mo, of course, was on the show a while back, and well worth listening to what she had to say about foraging and living off wild food for a year.
Yeah, which is incredible. I don't know how she did it. She did actually invite me to join an experiment they were doing, looking, it's called the Microbiome Project or something like that, and they took a cohort of foragers and got them to eat wild food for a month or 3 months, and then they were getting testing done on the microbiome, blood sugar, that sort of thing. And I think the results are just out on that now and are about to come out and be published out onto the BBC. But everyone showed alteration in their gut microbiome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the good,
Yeah. I couldn't commit to it, you know, for me to eat wild food for a month while running a business and family commitments. I just felt life would get in the way, unfortunately. But, you know, I think it was a really interesting project. Yeah,
it's fascinating. And it is really interesting how wild food really impacts us.
Yeah, yeah.
Hugely.
Wild food. And we have to think about our microbiome, because it's not just bacteria. We also have fungal microbiome. So if you are eating foods that have got antifungals on them, then it is going to have a knock-on effect, and it's going to hit that fungal aspect of your microbiome. So actually eating some wild mushrooms will really help to build that back up again.
Yeah, yeah, people don't really think about that fungal, that, you know, the fact that we have that inside us as well.
Yeah, yeah, it's not just bacteria, there's fungus in there too, yeah. But, I think what we've seen with the microbiome is that I guess the real public interest started with the little drinks that you would get, you know, the Yakults and the Actimels and things. And, you know, I tend not to recommend them. I think, you know, there's a lot of plastic waste on them, and there can be quite a lot of sugar.
Mm.
But it got people turned on to the fact that our bacteria were really important. And then we started to look at the bacteria more. And then as we've looked at it more and more, we've realised that actually one of the biggest influences on your microbiome is actually what you take on board. It's your diet.
Mm-hmm.
And if you change your diet, you can massively affect your microbiome in a good way and a bad way. You know, if you're eating refined sugars and junk food and processed food and sweeteners, you're not going to have a good microbiome. Whereas if you're eating lots of different fruit and vegetables, the bigger variety of bacteria you're going to have. You can really influence things.
Yeah, you can. And then we've talked before about the importance of getting some more wild food into our diets, because it's probably not as contaminated as something which has been grown on a farm where a lot of pesticides and fungicides are used. But then people listening to this might be thinking, well, that's all very well, but I don't have time to make something like a hawthorn chutney. That sounds like an awful lot of hard work. It's not really, though, is it?
No, I mean, this is, you know, we've been out, we've been in the fresh air. It took about 10 minutes to harvest, you know, a kilogram of hawthorn. It didn't take long at all. The processing, we've sat, we've had a cup of tea. We've actually done it as a social thing, haven't we? We've had a cup of tea, cleaned up the hawthorns. Now they're just boiling away. It's not a huge effort to actually do it. If you want to embrace that into your life, you know, why not get around the kitchen table with a few friends? You
know, the family.
And do it as a social thing.
Yeah.
I have people saying to me in clinic, I don't have time to cook. Now, I've always found that really difficult because, you know, I'm running a business, I've got a family. I've always made healthy eating a priority for us. You know, I think it's a real foundation stone of good health. So it has to be given importance. And you don't need to spend hours in order to eat well.
No, you don't. And I, in the same way, people say to me, oh, but I don't have time to cook from scratch. Well, you just, A, have to make it a priority, you're right. But B, not everything takes that long to cook from scratch, you know. Yeah. We're not talking about doing gourmet meals. Mm-hmm. I think maybe some of the TV shows have really done us a disservice there as well, because everybody thinks everything has to be so complicated. Yeah, but it doesn't have to be.
No, it doesn't have to be. But actually, I think you have to ask the question, do you actually have time to be ill? Because, you know, that can be the consequence of not eating well.
Yeah.
And if you're unwell, then that really is going to impact on your time and your ability to function.
Yeah, and the more variety we get into our diets, the better. Mm-hmm. So, again, somebody might say, well, what's the point of making something like a hawthorn ketchup? You know, I can just buy ordinary ketchup in the shop, and it's not very expensive, and it doesn't take me any time. But hawthorn's another thing that you can get into your diet.
And yeah, it's another layer. It's another layer of nutrition, and it's another layer of flavour. Now, I'm known as a bit of a bolognese queen. I'm not, you know, I eat meat. I've got a really versatile diet. I'm a total omnivore. And my bolognese probably has as much vegetable matter through it, if not more, as there is mince. And it's got courgettes, and it's got carrots, and it's got onions, and it's got garlic, and wild garlic, and hawthorn ketchup, and dryad sado, and dulse, and tomatoes, and the list goes on. Lots of fresh herbs out the garden. But what that means is, in that one meal, I've eaten probably between 15 to 20 different varieties of vegetables, but it tastes really good. So I've gifted my bolognese to people. You know, I've got an elderly friend in the village where we have this ongoing joke where I drop off grub in a tub, and I drop little food packages along to her. And, you know, she just says that your bolognese is just the best ever, because she said there's that layer of flavour that comes through it.
Layers of flavour. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's not just a you know, one horse. What's the one trick pony? That's the saying.
Yeah.
It's not just a one trick pony. And so you've got these different flavours. Now, you know, if you look at the ingredients list on something that's ultra processed, you'll see a lot of ingredients. But are those ingredients really what you want to be eating?
Exactly. And you'll probably find that a lot of people will make bolognese by cooking up some onions and some mince and then chucking a jar in there. Mm-hmm. Now, I know what I do takes a lot more effort, but I bulk cook it.
Yeah.
So I bulk cook it. I put all that effort in, make a huge pot of it. We get a meal out of it. I freeze some, and it's, you know, I've now got batches of bolognese sauce ready to go in the freezer. So overall, it probably takes me less time because I'm actually doing that bulk cook and getting organised around the meals.
Yeah, and I do that too. I do a bit of a bulk cook every so often. I did some mushroom soup the other day and actually put some kombu in that as well, just because it's a flavour enhancer. It really does bring out the flavour of things naturally.
Yeah.
And whizzed it all up, didn't take the kombu out. I know I said to you earlier that I eat it and you were quite surprised, but, you know, once it's cooked, it can be really soft and very tasty. So I whizzed it all up. Some I had, some went in the freezer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's you. You've got a really good meal on standby.
Exactly. Yeah. So these things don't have to take so long. But it, again, coming back to the layers and the layering of the different types of food that we get into our bodies, people talk about a five a day. I think it has really skewed people's thinking.
Yeah.
In terms of food.
Yeah, so it's about getting a lump of meat and then having some potatoes and some carrots and maybe some Brussels sprouts or something on the plate. And actually, there's nothing wrong with that. It's okay. But I would probably aim for more vegetable choice in that. I would sometimes have meat and maybe five or six or seven veg sometimes. Well, lots of small amounts of vegetables.
Exactly. I'm the same. You know, have a whole load of veggies there.
And or maybe do a casserole. But I mean, I love this time of year, I have to say, JJ, because there's that opportunity to slow cook and really add lots of ingredients in there. But, you know, a casserole, you can put a lot of ingredients into. But yeah, I think we've got this idea that five a day, and five a day is not enough. 10 a day is not enough.
No.
You know, and as I say, it's not about quantity, it's about variety. Mm-hmm. Just like actually when you look at things like probiotic supplements in the market, it's not always about the quantity in terms of how many million are in there. But if you buy a probiotic supplement that's got a real diverse range of bacteria, that's actually going to probably serve you better than buying one that's got 50 billion of a couple of strains. So yeah, diversity is everything.
That is true. Mm. And then getting back to something like Hawthorne ketchup. So you're adding that diversity into your diet. I don't know if you can buy Hawthorne ketchup in a shop anywhere.
You maybe can. Yeah, you can probably buy good quality ketchups.
Yes,
of course. If you go to a deli or something like that, you could probably buy. You can get mushroom ketchups.
I was just going to say you can get mushroom. Yeah,
yeah, and there are a lot more sort of inventive things on the market. So you know, I've seen a damson ketchup. You know, damsons are really high in antioxidants. So get a damson ketchup on board. So you could buy these things probably at a higher end deli. So you could get that diversity in your diet. But it, as I say, it just gives that little bit extra that you're looking for.
Yeah, and it costs more to get it from a deli, especially a high quality deli where you would be paying through the nose, than to actually just go out and gather a few, in this case, haws from a few hawthorn bushes, which are everywhere, and cook them up yourself. It's not going to cost that much.
It's not going to cost that
fuel
much.
Fuel costs, I know everybody's aware of fuel costs on the rise at the minute, but, you know, I use a pressure cooker a lot.
Which
but takes the other virtually, thing, you know, hardly anything.
Yeah, but the other thing is, you know, you can see in the oven, I've got big jars and small jars. They make really nice gifts, you know, so you could be making Christmas gifts, giving somebody something a little bit different. And, you know, that's going to potentially save you a lot of money. And, you know, why do we want to spend money on a gift that's maybe just going to sit in somebody's drawer and they're not going to use it? Give them a gift of good health and give them some Hawthorne ketchup. As you know, JJ, at Christmas, there's lots of big bags of mixed mushrooms going out to my friends. That's one of the Christmas treats from my household. So my foraging, as I say, is about me and my nutrition. But actually, it's about gifting and sharing with friends as well. And, you know, it's about community.
I think that's a lovely side of it as well. I think that's a lovely sentiment. You know, we don't have to do everything in isolation either. And get a few friends together. Mm-hmm. Get a few friends together and go out.
Yeah.
And get a whole load of... that's a few keys rattling there on a key stand. Go out and get a few... Just go out with your friends. Yeah. Gather some rosehips, you know, hawthorn berries, haws. At this time of year, are there still any elderberries around?
And the elderberries went over really, really quickly this year.
And also we've just had the most appalling storm, so they're probably not around anyway.
I've not seen any elder for, you know, quite a few weeks.
They were very, very quick this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, most years you've got them hanging around for a while.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And you've got rose hips, you've got rowan berries, you can make you could use rowan berries.
Jelly.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. So there is a lot out there on the hedgerows.
Yeah.
And of course brambles. Who doesn't like a nice apple and bramble crumble?
One of my faves. Mm. Although I do like apple and elderberry crumble.
Mm.
That's a very nice one
as well.
Very
nice.
Yeah. I used to make a lot of that way back in the day. Yeah. But yeah, so there is so much that we can do that doesn't cost very much money. And when I say it doesn't cost very much money, I mean that when you're cooking it, you have to, you know, think about the cost of the fuel. But
The main cost of that's been the cider vinegar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then the gas to cook it up and warm. Yeah. You know, yes, I've done my jars in the oven because it was just quick and convenient to do. So, yeah, there is a little bit of fuel cost there. But the health benefits, and it's not just the health benefits of eating it, it's the health benefits of going out and picking it because it really fulfils that reward system. It really boosts our dopamine levels up. It makes us feel good. We've been out in the fresh air. We've had exercise. We've socialised. That is as important as what we put into our mouths and what we digest.
And after cooking the mixture, Karen passed it through a moolie that you can use a sieve as well to take out the seeds and create a lovely tangy ketchup that she then cooled and bottled for family and friends. Simple. And that wraps things up for today. Thank you for listening. Until next time, it's goodbye from me and that nightingale.